Is acknowledging God in the public arena unconstitutional? Does the Constitution prohibit the public acknowledgement of God, for example, by elected officials and so forth? Today's secularists say that the Constitution does. In fact, they even go and try and prevent religious references by our public officials. We know the Constitution says in the First Amendment, quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, end quote. We also know that the Constitution prohibits a religious test for those serving in office. But does no religious test mean excluding God from the public square? Daryl White is the founder and director of the American Judicial Alliance, and he joins us now to unpack all these things and more, including the judicial aspect of all this. In other words, what does acknowledging God mean as far as judges are concerned? Daryl White, it's great to have you on the program. I just said Gerald White, but that's a cross between Judge White and Daryl. But great to have you back on the program. Thank you.
Wonderful to be with you again, Jerry. And this is a very important issue in view of the clear language of Article 6 of the Constitution that sets the requirement for oaths for public office holders, legislative, executive, and judicial. In fact, it mentions judges being bound twice in that article, Article 6 of the Constitution. And it concludes by saying that there shall be no religious test as a qualification to hold office or public trust under the United States. Now, keep that thought open, because that was in 1787. And then 2 years later, the first Congress created the federal court system with the Judiciary Act of 1789, a 35-section act in which they created, I think it was 15 federal courts. And in Section 8 of that act, they prescribed the oath, which is almost identical to this day in virtually all respects. It's identical. To administer justice without respect to persons, do equal right to the poor and the rich. And it concludes mandatorily, so help me God. And so how can that be reconciled with the language in Article 6 that there's to be no religious test as a qualification to hold office or public trust under the United States? The only way to reconcile that, Jerry, is to make reference to the first of America's organic laws. And that's not a term that I've given to it. That's what Congress calls the Declaration of Independence. References God, references the Creator, the Supreme Judge of the world, the protection of divine providence, four times. So four references to deity in our seminal document, the Declaration of Independence. And that's the reason why the Supreme Court could say truthfully in a case that we are a religious people whose institutions presuppose the existence of a supreme being. And so that's straight out of one of the Supreme Court cases dealing with the First Amendment.
Okay.
So it's a fact that acknowledging God is required of federal judges.
So that's a very interesting point. So bottom line is to interpret the First Amendment to mean that the judge couldn't, acknowledge or say God contradicts what the act that actually gives the judges their authority under the Constitution. It would contradict that. What if you had an atheist judge who didn't believe in God and therefore didn't want to swear by God or whatever? How does that work?
Well, 28 U.S. Code Section 453 is today's reference to the judicial oath that is in Section 8 of that Judiciary Act of 1789. And the so help me God is inside the quotes. So if a person wants to be a federal judge, he must utter those words, and that oath is sacramental. If actions are taken by someone who may have been nominated for a judgeship but did not take that oath, they're a nullity. And oaths are sacramental in the courtroom as well. I would say this. We give oaths to witnesses. We have to. And it has to be in a manner to awaken their conscience to the duty to tell the truth. And the failure to administer that oath renders a nullity to everything that happens thereafter. It's an interesting fact that I've looked at Ohio's oath law, and there's an ending that I think is unique in America. I think it's a good idea. At the end of the So Help Me God, there's an optional sentence that Ohio oath takers may take that says this: "This I do as I shall answer unto God. This I do as I shall answer unto God." And the whole idea of an oath is to imprecate the vengeance. And that's a term that one of our founding fathers said, to imprecate the vengeance of a holy God.
Well, I'm sorry, what does imprecate mean? Imprecate.
Well, to call forth, to imprecate the vengeance of a holy God for failure to fulfill the oath.
Okay, now wait a minute. I've got a question for you. A couple of years ago, a senator, U.S. senator, was sworn in, and instead of using the Bible, which she doesn't believe in, she used Dr. Seuss. There was another official, somebody within the Biden administration, was sworn in, and instead of using the Bible, she was sworn in on some book by Carl Sagan, an atheist. So, you know, is it sort of like, well, each person could choose whatever book of literature they want to be sworn in on? What makes the Bible so special?
Well, the Bible is special. You and I both know that. And we know
absolutely
that every justice of the Supreme Court since 1906 has signed the flyleaf of the Harlan Bible. That is a tradition that a nonprofit I'm associated with replicates to other courts. The idea that one's hand must rest upon a particular volume is not part of the oath language. That So Help Me God, for a federal judge, that is mandatory. And I will go, that's called the judicial oath. That's tracked to the Judiciary Act of 1789. There is also the constitutional oath, which is in Title V, U.S. Code, Section 3331. It's the oath that many of your listeners will be familiar with, to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I took it as a military officer. I administered it to our son when he graduated from the Air Force Academy. And it is obligatory on congresspersons as well. And it ends, So Help Me God.
Okay, so going back to Dr. Seuss and Carl Sagan, again, people just not using the Bible because they don't like the Bible, or they don't use the Bible. Maybe it would violate their conscience. Are you saying that obviously what they're doing is out of step with our traditions?
Let me be as poignant as I can. Barack Obama and John Roberts messed up when Roberts administered the presidential oath to Barack Obama. Do you know the first thing they did the next day is John Roberts was summoned to the White House to readminister the oath to Barack Obama because they really weren't sure that anything he did, if it weren't taken upon an oath, would have validity.
Okay.
That may be the most important thing that Barack Obama has ever done constitutionally.
By the way, I'm sure he was sworn in on the Holy Bible, right?
Retake his oath.
Yeah. And I'm sure he was sworn in on the Holy Bible, correct?
I think he was, but I can't be real sure about that.
Okay,
but John Roberts trotted over to the White House to administer it the day after.
Your point is,
wanted to be sure.
You got to get it right. That's the bottom line. Okay,
that was the point. That was the point.
You know, there is a phrase, and I learned this from Roy Moore, but it was a phrase that was thrown out by some of the Supreme Courts in more liberal times. The phrase is, quote unquote, ceremonial deism. Can you explain what that phrase means and how does it relate to this discussion about acknowledging God in the public arena?
Well, that's a convenient phrase for those who would deny the constitutional conundrum that no religious test does not rule out God. And Sandra Day O'Connor.
Okay, but what does it mean?
In her opinion, yeah. In one Supreme Court concurrence, where she suggested that it was an optional reference to God. I would say to that there's never been a federal judge who was willing to test that at the moment of his or her investiture and leave out, so help me God.
You know, I think we're getting to a point where the elites that want to just keep secularizing America and just take away more and more of our heritage and so forth, at a certain point, it's obvious that they don't grasp the idea that our rights come from God, and acknowledging that is really the essence of America. In other words, what we have in America is self-rule under God, and the left doesn't like either of those things, especially not the God
John
part.
Well, John Stormer wrote an interesting book, I think it dates back to the 80s, None Dare Call It Education, and in it there's a very powerful quote from the Elementary School Textbook League of San Gabriel, California. Listen to this quote. Withhold from the children for one generation the truth of rights endowed by a creator. That's straight out of the Declaration, incidentally. Withhold from the children for one generation the truth of rights endowed by a creator, and our Constitution could be altered and our freedoms voted away without the citizens ever even knowing the cause of their slavery. It's a spiritual slavery. My prayer, and this is a very hopeful development, is that reading that Utah public schools can teach the Ten Commandments in history class. That was as of March 20th, and the governor, Spencer Cox, signed a bill adding the Ten Commandments as well as the Magna Carta to a list of historical documents and principles that school curricula and activities can include for a thorough study. It's a shameful thing, and I wrote to Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens, who may have been the author in a per curiam opinion in 1980 that struck down a very popular Kentucky law that called for the posting of Ten Commandments in schools. It was per curiam in the sense that it did not assign an author. It did not have briefs or oral argument associated with it. But five justices, and we know it was five because there were four written dissents in the case, five justices said this, Jerry: if the posted copies of the Ten Commandments are to have any effect at all, it would be to induce the school children to read them, to meditate upon them, to venerate and perhaps obey them, period. However desirable this may be as a matter of private devotion, this is not a permissible state objective under the Establishment Clause of the United States Constitution.
Wow, that is amazing. We are basically out of time. Daryl White, for more information, people can see ajatoday.com. Daryl, thanks so much for your time. All the best. God bless you.
God bless.